Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, which is on page 869. Page 869. Can someone just turn the fans on? Just switch them on. Don't turn them up high, but just switch them on. That's you. Brilliant. Thank you. Just to get a bit of air moving. Brilliant. So Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Well, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, O Lord. And we pray again, Lord, as we've been singing, that you would open our ears, open our hearts, open our eyes, Lord, that we may see, that we may take in, that we may benefit, O Lord, from your word to us today. So please, O God, our God, undertake here now, O Lord, and may the Holy Spirit enable us to listen and think and apply what you say to us, to each of us here this morning. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, hopefully now in this, the third and final study of our mini-series, you'll have made the connection between this morning and the two previous Lord's Day mornings. One thing, that's right, one thing. We've been following the theme of one thing. And so we began with Psalm 27 and what David longed for. Verse 4, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." And then last week we looked at Philippians chapter 3 and what Paul longed for. Verse 13, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal, prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And this week we're in Luke's Gospel, and the one thing that Martha needed. I wonder, have you ever had that awful experience where you begin something to realize that you weren't properly prepared for it? Maybe it was an exam, and you open paper and behold, the high scoring questions are all in that one area which you thought, "I don't need to revise that." But, and you'll have to wait and see whether or not it worked. Maybe it's your wedding day, it was your wedding day, and you thought you'd everything covered, but the person that you asked to book the band to play at the reception got the date wrong. And so now people are stressing, and there's just a big distraction to what should have been a fantastic day. We were decorating a room in our house last week, and we should really have washed the walls down, because when I to use the roller, the paint wasn't going on. It was sort of spreading just, and we should have been better prepared before we started using the paint to coats in the end. Whatever the situation is, but it isn't long before you realize that this isn't right. Feel right. It's not working out right. I haven't prepared properly for this, so either it doesn't get done at all, or if it does happen, then the outcome isn't going to be as good as it could have been. How have you prepared for this morning? How have you prepared to come and worship God? Has it worked? Is it working? Are you worshiping? Have you started yet to worship? The passage we're looking at this morning reminds us of the need to be properly prepared for ministry, whatever that may be for you. In other words, it's not just a matter of being busy for the Lord. First of all, we need to be busy with the Lord. We need to prepare our hearts and our minds in first listening to our Savior to then go and to serve Him, however it is that God wants to do through you. The positioning of the five verses, I think, and I'm stressing, I think, is significant in underlining what I'm wanting to say this morning. At the beginning of chapter 10 there, if you've got your Bibles opened, you see there how the Lord Jesus is sending out the 72 disciples. They're to go out and be busy. They're to go out with the task and healing. So for them, it's clearly a period of activity, of traveling around the towns and villages and meeting people and spending time with people and responding to people's needs. And again, in chapter 10, later on, you come to this parable of the Good Samaritan, what the Lord Jesus thought in response to a question a lawyer had asked of him about who qualifies to be my neighbor, who I'm to love as myself. And in the parable that Jesus gives, we read of a Samaritan who demonstrates great pity, concern for this injured Jew. And at great personal cost, the Samaritan takes care of the man, investing money in him and doing good to him. And it's that sort of service that we're encouraged to do, verse 37, to go and do likewise. It wasn't just the man who was to go and do likewise. We're to get something from this for ourselves. Everyone is our neighbor who we are to love as we would love ourselves. So there's ministry and there's service preceding these verses. Then immediately after them in chapter 11, you see there that Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And he encourages us then to pray also. And so I think these five verses act as a bridge, sort of. A bridge between the busyness of service in the Lord's work and the need for us to spend time with the Lord of that work. We're looking this morning at the balance between, and it's a balance which every one of us needs to keep an eye on, but the balance of being, yes, busy in whatever work it is the Lord has called us to, but also the balance of us just doing nothing, actually, and being still in God's presence. And just listen. But spending time with God, listening to Him, worshiping Him, spending time at the feet of Jesus in preparation for you then to go and serve Him again. So first of all, what is the setting of this scene? The passage begins in verse 38 with the Lord Jesus and His disciples on the way. What does that mean? Where are we headed? Well, we're jumping in here because they formally began the journey back in chapter 9, verse 51. The Lord Jesus set His face towards Jerusalem. The cross is very much on our Lord's mind, and so He deliberately is focusing on there, setting out to go there in order to go to the cross there. He wants to go there the Passover in order for Him to become the true Passover lamb, for Him to become the sacrificial of God, the one that John the Baptist described as the Lamb of God who takes away the world. That is very much on our Lord's mind, and He sets His focus on doing that there. So He is traveling towards Jerusalem, traveling ultimately towards the pinnacle of His mission to save sinners. And they come to then to this village in which is Martha's house. Do you see it's described there as her house, end of verse 38. It's her house. This is the village of Bethany, just 2 miles of Jerusalem. We have spent some time when we looked at John chapter 11 and the death of Lazarus and so forth. A few weeks in Bethany, amongst the people there, listening to what happened there. Let's look now more closely at the scene going on inside the house. The Lord may have sent a word on ahead that he was coming. He did that back in chapter 9, verse 52. So possibly Martha isn't taken totally by surprise. But the party arrives at her house, and you imagine her opening the door with a big smile. There's a warm welcome to our home. She opens the door, and in they come. Hello, hello. Lovely to have you. It's great. Come on in. Come in and join us. How many do you think came in to Martha? Back by then, were there 72 in Martha's house? You ever had 72 people in your house? They'd have had Jesus and the 12 disciples there, plus Mary, possibly Lazarus too, plus Martha. So maybe at least 16 people would have been there in Martha's house. But Mary takes her seat at the feet of Jesus. She's listening to him. She's on the edges of the party, but she's drawn near to Jesus physically, drawn near in order to listen to him. Apparently in those days, students would literally sit at their teacher's feet. So Paul describes himself in Acts 22, verse 3, having been brought up in Jerusalem and educated at the feet of Gamaliel. That's where Mary is, again, at the feet of Jesus. Three times you read of Mary mentioned in the Gospels, and each time you will find her near the feet of Jesus. Here in Luke 10, 39, then in John 11, 32, with the death of her brother, Mary comes out and falls at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 12, verse 3, when she comes out and she pours her jar of expensive perfume over the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and then wipes them with her hair. There she is then at her sister's house at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, drinking up every word he says. What's it like in the kitchen, though? What's going on there in the kitchen? I think it's rather different in the kitchen. We don't know if Martha spent time that day getting her home clean for Jesus arriving. Would she have hoovered the floor? Would she have dusted the TV and all of those sorts of things? You know, I'm modernizing it. Obviously, they didn't have Wi-Fi in those days. I'm modernizing it. But had she been busy earlier that day? Had she known that Jesus was coming, so she got up early and spent already a part of the day getting her home ready? We don't know. But there are vegetables to wash and cut and cook. There's meat to get ready for the oven. There's bread to be baked. There's two puddings to make, since you always have to have two puddings, apparently. And you can't buy them. Oh no, you have to make them. So there's all of this happening. And verse 40 suggests that Martha is very busy looking after people, busily getting everything just right because Jesus is there at her house. And so, can you hear the banging of pots and the sound of cupboards being thrown shut as she rushes to get things just right? She didn't have those fancy drawers, maybe you have, where you push it and it slows down and closes really quietly. I reckon she was banging them with her hip to get on to move across to the kitchen. And of course, the potato peeler got stuck in the way. And so she had to bang it several times. And, you know, the heat in the kitchen is rising. Martha's so busy. She's so busy. We don't know what she's cooking, but something's cooking inside her. Something is bubbling up. And maybe it was just a thought at first, but there she is, and she's red-faced, she's sweating, she's wanting to do her best, but she's struggling to do it. And then maybe she hears a sound of laughter from the front room. They're all in there having a good time, and here I am out here. Maybe she hears someone mention her name, and she thinks, where's Mary? Where's my sister Mary? Where is she? This is my house. Where's my sister? There she is with my guest. We're told here that she was distracted with much serving. That word distracted, I can't find it used anywhere else in the New Testament, but it means to be drawn or pulled in every direction. That there's so much here that has to be done, or at least she thinks has to be done. And so the tension is building, the heat is rising. I don't think she had a fan in her kitchen, but there's something happening in her kitchen. It's getting warmer and warmer. And then that's it. She walks up to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, verse 40, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Martha's cross with two people here. She's cross with Jesus, and she's cross with Mary. She's cross with Jesus because he, according to her, should have help, and so he should have told her, Martha, go and help your sister Martha, but he doesn't. And of course, she's cross with her sister for leaving her to do all the work. So how does the Lord then respond to Martha? What does he say to her? It's difficult to know, you see, whether verses 41 and 42 happens in front of the room or whether it's a private thing. Did Martha walk into the room and sort of kill the conversation and point to her sister and in front of everybody say, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? I don't know. I really don't know. But in what Jesus says to Martha, there is great intimacy in it. There is compassion in the words he uses. Martha, Martha. He loves her. There is a disapproval in her opinion, but there is a great affection for her, a great understanding of her situation. You are anxious and troubled about many things. I think he understood how Martha wanted everything to be just right for him being there in her home. He understood that she wanted the table laid just right for him. How she didn't want the top of her baked Alaska burnt. She didn't want the cat walking across the table and all of those sorts of things that frustrate homes when we have guests. Jesus understood her good intentions, and maybe we husbands need to learn more of the Lord from here. To be more as Peter calls us to in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, considerate as we live with our wives. So you see, these things don't really matter. We don't need to clean the house before we go on holiday. It matters to her. Her good intentions, her good reasons. The Lord understands Martha here. He shows compassion towards her, but he doesn't agree with her. He tells Martha, one thing is needed. It means only one dish is needed. Martha, just one dish is needed, not the many you're cooking, but I think they're really missing the one Jesus is making here. I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. There's really only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I won't take it away from her. And what that one thing is, we'll look at in a moment, but let me ask you the question, do you agree with Jesus? Do you agree with Jesus that Mary was right and that Martha was wrong? I'm not trying to yourself, Jesus. Should Martha not have bothered with the food and serving people, but for herself and for her own benefit, done as Mary did? You see, I think it depends on whether you're a Martha or a Mary. Martha, you would think, yeah, but what about the food? What about the food? It's all very well. Mary sat there at the feet of Jesus. She's going to serve the food. And so to you, maybe you're thinking, actually, Jesus isn't maybe quite right there because people need to eat. Whereas if you're a Mary, you're thinking, yeah, he was right. Of course he was right. Food doesn't matter. All that matters is that we spend time with our Savior. What kind of person do you think Martha was, especially to when you compare her with Mary? Remember, this was the woman who invited Jesus into her home. But it's her, having done that, that gets herself all hot and bothered about the work that she believes needs to be done now that Jesus into her home. And also in John chapter 11, when the Lord Jesus arrives at Bethany, Lazarus from the dead, whilst Mary stands inside, Martha, who runs out to see the Lord, and when she meets him, she expresses her faith in a lovely, very childlike sort of way, dependent way. I know that even now, though my brother is dead, God will give whatever you ask. Then the following chapter, at the Thanksgiving meal for Christ having raised Lazarus, everyone else is reclining at the table, yet there's Martha again serving, caring for the needs of others. What kind of woman do you think Martha was? She was a woman of faith, a great woman of faith. Could talk easily with the Lord Jesus Christ, who could share with him her heart. I think, too, she was a very practical sort of woman, someone who took the initiative in offering hospitality, who jumped at the occasion to serve in that particular way, and someone who greatly enjoyed just getting on with things. If something had to be done, Martha would be the one on the list at the top saying, I want to do it. Let me do it. Let me serve in that way. I think this was someone who would say yes as often as she could in order that she could help as many people as she could, wherever she could. So practical people like that here this morning, I can relate to Martha here. You can relate to her concern for her wanting to get home right for Jesus, wanting to get the food right, wanting to make sure everything was just right. Time to do as Mary did. Got to do this for Jesus. But from what it says here, Martha was someone who, in her service, in her life of service for the Lord, she needed to prioritize her life better. Even from time to time, to learn to say, no, I'm not doing that. No, I can't do that this week. She needed to realize that there was one thing more important than doing the Lord's work. With the Lord, she was doing her work for. Martha, a woman who loved seeing to other people's needs, she needed here to sit down and see to her own needs. She needed to spend time with the Lord herself, out of which then would come, in his sight, a better quality of service. It's like the bird who feeds her chicks, and you know how she opens her mouth and the chick puts its beak into her mouth, and if there's nothing there, then the chick won't get fed. Mother needs to feed herself in order to feed her, better serve those chicks. And Martha here needed to fill her own stomach first before she sought to serve the chicks of the group there, as it were. Or to use another language from the Song of Solomon, 1 verse 6, Martha was so busy taking care of other people's vineyard, she needed to remember her own vineyard. She needed to tend to her own vineyard. And so, since the Lord Jesus was there, she should realize the better thing, the necessary thing, and just sat down and listened to Jesus. Are you a Martha sort of person? No such people. Very helpful people, incredibly practical, hardworking people. Much more into getting on with doing things rather than just going into your quiet place, wherever it may be, and just being still before the Lord and refocusing on Him and recharging your battery by somehow connecting with Him in His Word. But instead, the alarm clock goes off and you're up and you're out and you're away, but you're running on empty. You're running on empty. And yes, stuff will happen that day. Stuff will happen. Stuff will happen for the sake of it having been done, not out of love for the person you did it for. And thirdly and finally, it would be easy and totally wrong for us to conclude then from this passage that what the church really needs then are more Marys and less Marthas. Because the church needs workers. It needs grafters. It needs people to come and get involved and help do things here. For sure it does, yes. The point of the passage is that each of us, every one of us, needs to learn this balance of serving with sitting. Serving with sitting. And arguably, the preparation of sitting and listening to Jesus should come before you serve Jesus. Martha here was clearly someone gifted with hospitality. And she loved doing it. She seems to serve the Lord naturally. Wonderful. It's lovely to see her do this. Yet this, her service, what distracts her from the one thing that is necessary. She needs to just sit and be quiet. Listen to the Lord. Discipleship and being a follower and a disciple of Jesus means this balance. In this balance between full service of whatever it is that God has called you to. Gifts He's given you to do, that you faithfully do that. Yeah, faithful service, but also faithful worship, so we can serve the Lord better. Why? The service comes out of knowing the Lord better, which comes out of worshiping Him. Our service to the Lord ought to be of having spent time with Him, and so we love Him more. We see Him more clearly, so we want to serve Him out of this inner love that is us refocusing on Him. Otherwise, we just end up like the church at Ephesus. Remember the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation? This fantastic church appeared so busy, so active. This was a church that I'm sure would be a member of, a strong evangelical church, and yet a church who had forsaken their first. Yes, they were busy, they were active, they were faithful, but what they didn't do it out of love for Jesus. They were just busy doing it. And Jesus says, repent or I'll shut you down. Or even worse, I think the church at Sardis, a church which had a reputation of being alive, a busy church, an active church of service, and yet the Lord says, dead. On empty. Trying to serve God faithfully, running on empty. Have not first spent time with their Savior. It's always the easier option to neglect sitting at the Lord's feet and just get busy. To miss the midweek prayer meeting, to not bother with your daily devotions of Bible reading and prayer, or even not just asking God for help, for you just rush in and get on with it. I mean, how would you run to this part of preaching and not having first spent time, not having first spent preparation? You wouldn't want that, would you? I hope you wouldn't want it. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, before he chose 12 disciples, what did he do? He spent the night in prayer, in preparation. Before he went to the cross, before he was arrested and so forth, in the Garden of Gethsemane, preparing, praying. It's always the easier option, it seems. Just get on with it. And the passage like this brings us back to say, hang on a minute, let's just prepare first. Let's just plug in to our Savior again and focus on him again and commune with him again to then go and serve him again. It's such a temptation just to get on with it. Martin Luther said, I have so much to do that I spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Now, but there's something in that. Something in that. Age of speed and got to get on there, got to get doing. First, sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what our Lord has to say. May God help us to do that in our own sphere, in our own area, in our own context, in which God has called us to serve him. Father, help us then, please, please, Lord, to work this out, Father. Help us, Lord, in this age of getting things done as quickly as possible. Father, help us to just step back and recommit to you, Lord, and reconnect with you, Lord. Father, how could we think that we could operate without first having spent time with you? So help us to remember this. Help us to learn the practice of it. Lord, that we may be more useful to you in your service here and further afield. We ask in Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we close.